Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. ActiveGuard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Anybody, anywhere.
Yeah. It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome into Take Command. We are streaming our video available at 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 YouTubes. And of course, you can listen to us wherever you get your audio. Please subscribe, please rate, please review, and please send the pod to a friend or two who isn't hip to it and doesn't know about it. Logan Paulson was in the NFL for 10 years, breaks the film down before and after every game. I'm Grant Paulson. You can listen to me on 106.7 The Fan from 2 to 6.30 every day. And Logan today is joining us from the friendly confines of Madrid, Spain, where he and the team have already made their way across the pond, getting ready for international football on Sunday. Logan, how was the flight?
Flight was good, man. I mean, it was they treat you so well on that charter, and everybody's got taken care of. It was a little bit bumpy coming across, so I sleep pretty well on planes for the most part, but it's always fun when you get woken up to some pretty bumpy air, and you're like, oh, you know, wasn't a bad dream. We're actually in flight, and things aren't going super well. But, yeah, outside of those two kind of really bumpy moments, is easy peasy. Got a lot of food, got a little sleep, and here we are in Madrid, and it's gorgeous outside. So nice to be here.
How different are the flights, especially something like this, which I'd imagine is different than when the Commanders are flying to New York or something like that. But how, like, then what I would do, where I'm sitting in the middle row between two donks on my way out to Madrid, you know, I'm guessing, sounded like from what Bill told me on the radio, they were going to have a different or better plane where they're doing beds, kind of like, how did it work?
Yeah. So for the longer, I think they charter two planes, if I'm not mistaken, and this is the larger of the two. And so like I sit in the very back near, you know, in the farthest back portion of the plane, but no one sits next to you. There's no one on your right, no one on your left. So you got a little space to kind of extend yourself. But as you walk up, it kind of gets nicer. You know, you're kind of moving up the train. So you get into business plus. Those kind of look like first class seats. And when you get all the way to the front of the plane, it's like the seats that fully recline for international travel. And one of the things that I like that Dan does is he makes sure that the players have access to those seats, especially the starters, which I think is great, you know, because they're going to be playing. You want them to be able to sleep and kind of get comfortable and enjoy the trip as much as possible. So they take really good care of those guys on the plane. Like you said, like they, I don't know if it's full bed, but the ones that kind of get all the way nice and low, you have like your little cubby there. So it's a nice setup for sure.
That's pretty cool. And then the last thing I'm wondering about the trip would be, I guess just, it's such a cool opportunity. Like I know a lot of the media people, when I was thinking about going over there, had my wife have been able to, it's a rare once in a lifetime kind of deal. We have a young baby and it just didn't work out. I make the trip anyway, but I wonder with families of players, like I'd imagine some wives or some kids or something are going over there. How much a part of the week will that be? Like, I'm sure DQ is going to make this a business trip. This is not fun. We're not lollygagging, but it's also a cool opportunity. Like, will the families go just to experience it, but not really get to hang out with dad or the husband? Or like, how does that work?
Yeah, definitely. When we were checking into the hotel, I saw a couple of families of coaches and players kind of in the lobby and saying hi. And, you know, I think just kind of the high level view of the schedule, it sounds like the guys are going to be pretty busy. You know, it's going to be like a normal week and they have to do a little bit of travel to get to the practice facility. It's the Real Madrid kind of soccer development facility. It's a gorgeous, we drove by it on the way from the airport. And so I think, yeah, it'll be kind of a business week, but I think it's a great opportunity to get the families out here and get them to experience Spain. And so far, you know, I've only been here for a couple hours, but it's a gorgeous city and the people have been super friendly and welcoming. And I you know, I'm going to be working a lot on this trip too, but I'm going to try and get out in the evening and just kind of see the city a little bit because it seems beautiful. So I think it'd be a great opportunity for guys to, even if they can't do it directly with their families, to get out and do that thing. And then the other thing too, is they'll probably have a lighter day on Friday and a lighter day on Saturday, you know, like you would during the normal week where they're done at 3 o'clock or, and then on Saturday, they just have a walkthrough where they're done, you know, probably closer to 12. So you'll have some time in the afternoon on both of those days, I think, to just, you know, not go kill your legs or anything like that, but just kind of spend some time and see the sights, which again, if your family's out here, would be great.
And you mentioned, you know, you'd get out and about and experience some culture. Do they have rotisserie chicken there? Do they have a Publix? I know that's
dude. I already had some chicken today, man. First restaurant we went to, it says Pollo on the menu. I was like, let me give that a shot. And the guy was like, that is very nice. And I was like, great. So I had that. It was a couple pieces of chicken on a plate with some veggies. And I was like, it's a pretty solid start to the vacay. You know what I mean? So
one for one, let's go.
One for one. Yeah.
Absolutely. Will you dabble? Will you dabble a little bit with the cultural cuisine?
Yeah, I'm not super picky, not a super picky eater. So as long as it kind of meets my macros, usually I'm pretty good about eating stuff. But there were some recommendations, food recommendations that people said, oh, you got to try like this. It's like a fish rice dish. So I'm going to try and find a spot that has something like that. And, you know, like I like food. I like experiencing the culture like as much as possible. And obviously there's a little bit of a language barrier here, unlike other parts of Europe. So it'll be kind of an adventure to figure out what we can, like, you know, what we're going to eat for dinner. So
that's looking cool. Forward to it's it. It's going to be a cool trip, I think. We'll get into the football in a second. Last thing. I know in 2016, you went to London with the Redskins, right? Were you on that trip?
Missed that year. So I got a funny story for you, Grant. So I have had three opportunities to play international games. So like with the Commanders or the Redskins at the time, I got my passport and everything. And we were getting ready to go. That was the year I got cut, played that year with Chicago. In Houston, they were going to go to London, I think, also, or maybe Germany. And I played 8 or 9 weeks of the season and got cut 2 weeks before they left. So I have missed both by a very small margin of my international travel. So this is my first international travel with a football team.
No way. I didn't realize that. I was thinking about that for like some of these guys, they got to be super bummed, whether it's Jaden schedule comes out and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go play in Madrid and I'm the face of the team and one of the faces of the league. He doesn't even make the trip. I was glad to see Terry, even though he's not playing, is going to make the trip. But some of the guys that get held back, whether it's Deron Payne via suspension, we'll talk about that. Treylon Burks having a surgery on his finger. That's got to be a complete bummer because this is something players really look forward to, I think. They circle the calendar.
Yeah, you know, it depends on who you talk to. Some players are so, like, habit-driven and habit. You know, you've been around the locker room, Grant. You know how guys are. It's like, oh, don't mess up my routine. I've got to be here at, you know, 10:15 or 10:16. And if I'm late, it's going to really throw off my day. So I think there are some people that don't like the disruption of the international trip. But, I mean, so far, like, we drove by the stadium where they're going to play. And they've got, you know, the Jaden Daniels posters out and, you know, the Miami sign logo up and the Commanders logo's up. And so the city's like ready to rock and roll for this thing. And there's a lot of people that are really excited about it. So I do think for a guy like Jaden, obviously, I don't know how he personally feels about it, but I think it's somewhat of a letdown for all of these fans here. I guess this is the largest fan base where there has not been a game, an NFL game so far internationally. You know what I mean? So there's a big, big swell of like, you know, football support here, American football support. And so I think as a player, it's cool to be a part of that. It's cool to kind of see the international impact that the game is having. Well, I also think it's probably somewhat disappointing for, you know, Jaden and some of these guys who can't come and see that.
Yeah, it is. It's a bummer that the health, the injuries, that you're going to miss out on some of those guys. Frankly, it's also for the fans that have shelled out a lot of money. They thought they were seeing maybe two really good teams and a Washington team on its way maybe to competing for the division, and that's just not the case right now. They've lost five in a row, so let's transition over to the football part of it. They're trying to break a stretch here where they've lost four straight by 20 or more points, which has only happened in the league three times in the last 35 years. And they get some bad news this week. Daron Payne gets suspended a game for punching Amon-Ra St. Brown. So why don't we start right there? I got no problem with a one-game suspension. He clearly hit him. Are you surprised at all that he got suspended? It sounds like they appealed, but it didn't go anywhere. So Payne didn't make the trip and is definitely out. What'd you think of the news?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of the people I talk to, some of the people I work with were surprised by it, but I personally wasn't. I think it just was such a blatant punch and such a blatant kind of loss of cool and loss of perspective in a game. Like, I think the penalty's somewhat warranted. I know Daron probably doesn't want to hear me say that, but like, you can't punch people in NFL football games. It's a physical, violent game, but there's rules to it. And I think he was well with outside the rules on that. So I personally wasn't surprised. And again, I was very surprised that he went to that emotional level in a game. And, you know, it is a heightened environment, and guys do stuff that is borderline. But, I can't think of the last time I've seen somebody, you know, strike somebody in that manner in a football game. So, yeah, warranted to me. And again, disappointing he can't come because he's been a staple of this defense and a guy that has had a really solid season so far. But, you know, can't do that.
How do you coach that afterwards? Is it one of those things where you basically, if you're DQ, or you would tell me, like, is it DQ? Is it somebody else? But you come into the office, and then he knows he can't do that. He lost his cool for a second and did something ridiculous, but you're obviously looking to scold him in some way. Like, how does that even work? Or is there a chance they didn't say anything because he just knows what he did?
No, they for sure. To me, it's very unlikely that they didn't address it. I think different staffs will handle it differently. Like Mike Shanahan would probably bring you into his office first, talk about it with you there one-on-one, then address it in front of the team after he's kind of softened the blow. I think Dan would probably do something similar, especially with this kind of situation. Or maybe he feels like the individual addressing would be enough. But I think in these situations, it's not only good to address the player, but it's a good learning opportunity for the team. So why not, you know, kind of use it and say, hey, this is not who we are. This is not who we want to be. This is, you know, this is an emotional game, but we have to control ourselves. And so I think there's no way that they didn't address this at some level, probably for sure with the individual. And I would say that it's a very high likelihood that they did in front of the team as well.
Well, it's also just such a significant loss, right? Because you're going up against Miami, and while they've had problems this year offensively in different capacities, I mean, they're coming off of a get right game where they really ran the ball effectively. I mean, Devin Achane went for a couple hundred yards all purpose, and you know, we'll look more ahead to Miami in the next game. But this is one of those where, you know, your back's against the wall defensively, you're going through one of the tougher stretches, frankly, in team history. You're now the 31st ranked defense in the league, and this is one of your best players, man. So to not have him in this game, not to mention he was the captain last week, he's a leader, to not have him all week long for the practices, which means so much, and the trip, it's just a huge loss for this team.
Yeah, I think so. And again, he's been one of the more consistent guys, right? So like, I'm not going to say anything here that you just didn't say, and I see it the same way as you. Like, he's a veteran, he's a leader, he's a guy that's been a consistent contributor. And so not to have him in a game like this where Miami's kind of seems to be on the good foot all of a sudden is going to be really tough. And I think, like you said, they do a lot of exotic stuff in the run game. They have a very young left guard who's struggled this year. Like, I think about that matchup as one that would have tilted in Washington's favor if Daron had been playing. So Yeah, it is frustrating. It's disappointing, and obviously hurts the team. But hopefully, hopefully the team and Deron learn from this, and it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, number 10 rushing offense in the league, Miami. Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson on Take Command. Could mean an opportunity. You know, the other side of this, though, is there's going to be time the rest of this year, very likely, where you get a little younger on the roster and you play some other hungry guys. So clearly Eddie Goldman's role is going to grow. It's going to be a lot of Javon Kinlaw. But I would think Jerjon Newton, who blocked a field goal last week, Sheldon Day, who – at times last year, I thought was really good. He showed up on tape a couple times in games already this year. Like, yeah, somebody's got to step up. And the guy I point to is Johnny Newton, 36th overall pick last year, second round pick. Like, maybe he gets to play a little more and gets into a rhythm and makes some noticeable, impactful plays. That would be a huge deal to get him going here in his second season, because he becomes an important player down the stretch for me to monitor in terms of the big picture here, trying to find building blocks. Like, where are we at in his development? What are you seeing from him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, I think he's shown you flashes, but I think he's always kind of left you wanting more. And again, it's a tough transition for him because he's coming off the injury last year, and he didn't really get a – like, to me kind of feels like it could be his rookie year kind of in a way. And so I look at some of the stuff that he's done. Obviously, there's that quick win pass rush that he has against Kansas City. Like, I want to see more of that stuff. I want to see him kind of come to life in that way. And I think he's done some good stuff from a hustle and compete standpoint. Like, the Chargers game comes to mind, where he's really running to the football in pursuit, and he's a big man that's getting after the football down the field. But I think there's just been a general lack of, like, flash to his game, you know, like, for a guy of his draft caliber. So I think I'd like to see maybe an expanded role that gets in a more consistent rhythm, and you see something from him. And so obviously, like, while this is a bummer for Deron and kind of a disappointment for the team, I do think this provides an opportunity where, hey, here's a young guy who's got some talent, who's got some ability to step up and get more consistent repetitions in a game.
So this could be a dumb question, and you could tell me if it is, but when I watched him coming out of college, I loved him as a pass rusher and a pocket pusher and a collapser. And it hasn't quite translated. Is it as simple as, like, it's really hard up here? Or is it, I don't want to say usage, like they're misusing him, but the role could be different. Like, at Illinois, maybe, hey, man, you're getting up the field, you're wreaking havoc. Like, it just seems like it almost a completely different style of play. What do you see in that regard?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, Graham. And I think Grant. And what I'd say is that with Jerzon, like, you know, we've talked about this with Connerly, you know, coming up to the NFL level, like, the standard of defensive line play is crazy different than anything you'd see in college. And when you're a defensive lineman and you're a young player coming in, like, one of the things I'm always surprised about is the shock that's even, like, really good pass rushers experience when they go up against their first NFL offensive lineman. It's just a different breed of human being. It's much more technical. Hand placement, foot placement, body position, torso position of the offensive lineman. You're not going to get these kind of quick, easy wins because they're not going to give you anything, right? And then not only that, are they technically more proficient? They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, their knowledge and understanding of the game is way higher. And so I like to kind of go back and look at draft picks that I liked, you know, in the last year's draft. A lot of them are defensive linemen, and I'm always shocked, and I shouldn't be anymore, to see how difficult it is for them to kind of find their way versus NFL offensive linemen. So I think this is part of it. You know, I think last year he came in a little bit out of shape because of the foot injury, and he did some good things, but I think this really is year two for him, where he's going to get a lot of opportunities and a lot of reps. And again, this is big boy football up here. Like, you're not going to see as many one-on-ones. You're going to see a lot of double teams on the interior when you're playing nose or the three technique. And I think you're just getting a little bit of that now, you know? And so he's got to learn, he's got to continue to develop, and I think he will.
He's young too, by the way. He just turned 23 years old.
Oh, wow.
6'2" and about 300 pounds. So, you know, he's maturing and physically kind of coming into his own, and he's only going to get bigger and stronger. But yeah, this is a great opportunity for him. There's no doubt. The big news of the week out in Ashburn, I guess we buried the lead here in our kickoff segment looking at this defense, is that just yesterday, not long before you were in the air. Dan Quinn came out and said it was time to make a change. He felt like they had to do something. So he is taking over as the defensive coordinator, which effectively, best I can tell, just means he's going to call the defensive plays. I guess it's also possible he leads some more things during the week here in the meeting room on the defensive side of the ball. This is something I was asking for the last few weeks on the show because he has been so successful as a coordinator in the past, and it just felt like they had to do something different. Joe Witt stays on staff to continue to help in the comparable role that he has. But what do you make of Quinn coming out and saying, hey, I'm going to call the plays and we're going to try something different?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough when a guy gets demoted or a guy loses their job because, again, it's hard to get those opportunities. And I think this opportunity, if you're kind of just trying to be pure, like truly altruistic, it's not totally fair to Joe Wood Jr., right? It's going to be tough because, like, they're banged up. Like, what he thought they were going to be, what he thought they could be this year didn't come to fruition. And I think a big part of that is due to injury. And, again, I'm not trying to make excuses, and I don't think he'd make excuses for himself. But I think it is kind of an unfair evaluation of him this year. But like you were saying, something needed to change. I mean, you can't be giving up points kind of unabated week in and week out and not expect there to be some type of ramifications or some type of change in the defense. So I think it's something that needed to happen. I'm glad that Joe Witt Jr. is still on the staff. I like his energy. I like his vibe. I think he's a good coach. It's just I think this is a tough situation for anybody. And so
meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
I think that's the thing that I look at and I say to myself, like, yeah, I think Dan's a brilliant guy when it comes to calling defenses. And I think Joe Wood Jr. he's shown me things that I get really excited about. But I'm not sure changing the play caller changes anything for the defense, quite honestly. Like, and what I mean by that is, like, when I went back and watched this film, I got through about 2/3 of it before I got on the plane, is the stuff that I'm seeing is stuff that we've seen for the last couple of weeks. It's like we're not fitting runs correctly. Our eyes are bad versus motion. We're dropping guys in certain coverage looks, like versus runs, like we're losing our coverage responsibility. And I'm not sure if changing the guy who's calling the play positively affects the defense in a dramatic way. To me, that stuff feels like stuff that needs to be corrected and worked on and developed in the week. And again, like, I'm not sure that that is something that that Dan Quinn can impact in a week period. You know, even if he is, like, getting more hands on in the defense, like, this seems like something that takes a long time to fix. Because I think about it in the same way like you would take to fix a run game, right? It doesn't just happen overnight. Like, we got to work combinations. We got to work footwork. We got to work feel. We got to work eyes. And that's repetition, repetition, repetition. And some of the mistakes I feel like I'm seeing require a ton of repetition and a ton of focus and a ton of communication that, again, I think just takes more time than is going to be allowed in this week here in Spain.
So that's what I'm wondering when I hear that is, like, you have the bye week coming up, which will help, right? That's a reset. That's a multi-week thing where you could even, you know, you talked on the last pod about maybe changing what you're doing on defense just to better combat the fact that you're without so many bodies. But, you know, when we talk about needing more time, it's so deep into the season, obviously. It's starting to dwindle. There's not a lot of time left. So I guess let's just start with Dan Quinn. If you're calling plays defensively, would you dial anything up or down? Like, before we get into the fact that it may not make much of a difference, or based on his – you were with him in Atlanta. He was a head coach, not a play caller, but you know the guy really well.
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to do in terms of being a play caller that might be different?
Well, I think what Dan does at a really high level, and what I thought Joe Wood Jr. did before kind of this thing all went to hell in a handbasket, is they knew what their guys did well. And, you know, I was talking to Fletch, I was talking to Smoot, I was watching film, and I'm like, if you had to pick, and I think we were talking too the other day, like, if you had to pick one thing that they were excellent at right now, what would it be? And I can't tell you what it is at the moment, right? It's just everything seems to be a struggle. When we bring pressure on first down, we're a little bit loose with our run fits. The lanes get a little bit wide, right? Okay, we're going to play coverage on first down. Our four down front, the linebackers are misfitting runs at the second level, or the nickel's not in the right position, or it's a play pass and the nickel's getting fit in the, like, I couldn't tell you. And I think that's the thing that feels so overwhelming, quite honestly, about the defense is, like, I'm a solution-based guy. I'm generally very optimistic, but with this defense, I'm kind of like, I don't even know where you start, quite honestly, because it's everybody's kind of taking their turn, making a mistake, and it just is one of those things where I don't know how to fix it necessarily. So when you ask me, Grant, like, what are we gonna do? What's Dan gonna do? It's like, I don't have a great answer for you, because for example, with the offense, you're like, okay, the 13 personnel thing worked really well. The condensed formations worked really well. Marcus Mariota sees this type of throw well. Let's lean into that stuff more, right? That's obvious. Let's do that stuff more. With the defense, it's like in the last two games, really the last three games, outside of that one quarter, first half of Kansas City, I haven't seen a lot to hang your hat on, right? And so I don't have a good answer. And hopefully Dan figures something out. Again, I think you probably want to play a little bit, be aggressive, bring a little bit more pressure on first down, play a little bit more man. But when they've done that outside of the LA Chargers game, hasn't really worked for them super well. So I just think it's going to take some time for them to find their legs, find what they do well, and let Dan kind of make those decisions. And again, that's probably not what fans want to hear. But again, I watch a ton of football, and I'm not sure there's a definitive answer to what is going to change this thing.
I also think that's part of why it took so long to make the change, if I'm being honest, because, you know, when you say you don't know how much of a difference a different play caller is going to make, I think Dan's probably seeing the same thing if we're seeing it, and he's going, okay, well, I'm not going to take this from Joe, you know, the last couple of weeks. But then you get to a point where over a four game stretch, you've allowed 1,805 yards and 154 points. And you're just, it's like pulling the goalie, whether the goalie's the one giving up the goals or not. Right. And just trying something different. You're just, and also to some extent in the building, you'd have to tell me what a player perspective is like. I'm sure the defensive guys, Von Miller has been very public about this, Bobby Wagner, they didn't want this change. They don't think it's on the coach. But I do think there's got to be, maybe it's just a message sending thing to the outside, but like the status quo is unacceptable in terms of the result. So I'm not even saying from a football perspective, but from any job, like you've just got to try something different. To keep showing up at work and just ramming your head against the wall gets really tough. And that's why they've made the change that they've made. The one thing I would say in the past I've seen when defenses are going through ruts is you playmaker your way out of it. Like you get a guy like Marshawn Lattimore against the Chiefs makes a great interception on the sideline. And you're like, whoa, they got to stop. Like they did it. Now Kelce gives them the assist on a Paul he should have caught, but like later in that first half, Bobby Wagner makes a play, comes down with an interception, right spot, right time. And all of a sudden you get to the end of that half and you've allowed, I think it was 0 points in the first quarter and 7 in the first half. things look a lot better. It's not like they were getting stops and forcing a bunch of punts, but they got two takeaways. So that would be my prescription. It's easier said than done, but you need someone to make a play. Maybe Jacob Martin gets a sack fumble. You know, maybe Bobby Wagner, you know, arm punch, you know, peanut punches a ball out. Maybe Quan Martin, who had a pick six in the playoffs against the Lions last year, makes a pick or bats a ball that gets intercepted by Jonathan Jones or something. You have to playmaker your way out of it a little bit, I think.
I think that's a great point. And I think the thing is also is like a lot of your playmakers are banged up. So who's going to kind of step into that role? Who's going to grow as a player and make that opportunity happen? And I think that's something, you know, if you wanted to do that, Grant, like if you wanted to invite that level of variance, being more aggressive is maybe the way to do it. Being like, hey, we're going to bring a lot of pressure. We're going to play man coverage and we might get beat, but we're also going to, we're going to get ours too. Right. And so you're kind of relying on being this high variance group. And you see teams like, I think a really good example of this actually is the Buffalo Bills. Like they're a relatively high variance group. They're like a bend but don't break. They bring a fair amount of pressure and they rely on turnovers to kind of keep them in games defensively. The problem is like when you don't get those turnovers, you're in trouble. However, they've been very successful for a long time in terms of creating turnovers when they need them. So maybe that's what you lean into and say, hey, man, we're just going to try. I'm going to try and put these guys in the best position to bring variance, positive and negative, to this game, and hopefully the variance swings in our favor. And statistically, we're just able to kind of swing it, or from a probability standpoint, excuse me, we're able to kind of swing this and make it happen for us.
Let's look at the offense and take a look back on the film study Logan did of how Washington's O, which found some things down the field finally, performed against the Detroit Lions. We'll do that next on Take Command.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.